This morning's gospel lesson comes from Matthew 15, verses 1 through 20. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat." Jesus answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that whoever tells father or mother, 'Whatever support you might have had from me is given to God,' then that person need not honor the father. So for the sake of your tradition, you make void the word of God. You hypocrites! Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.'" Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you not know that Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" Jesus answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. My, oh my, it has been one of those weeks that drive those of us who strive for social justice crazy. Well, where to begin? Well, how about with Scripture? I've always found that's a good place to start. And here in Matthew 15, we find the religiously legalistic Pharisees and scribes complaining to Jesus because his disciples break the traditional laws of cleanliness by not washing their hands before they eat. Jesus calls them hypocrites because they themselves do not follow all the commandments of God, like honoring one's father and mother. In a teaching moment, Jesus tells the crowd he gathers around him, "It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but rather what comes out of the mouth that defiles." When the disciples question Jesus' strong response, Jesus says the Pharisees and scribes are simply blind guides leading the blind. Strong words. When Peter says they still don't understand, Jesus elaborates. "Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." How do we apply this teaching to what we have witnessed this past week? Well, first, however, lest we just point a finger at others, let's make sure we take a good close look at ourselves in the mirror. And this proves to be a fairly good indicator of our own spiritual health at any given moment. We are asked to monitor the words that come out of our mouths. Why? Because what we say is a reflection of what is in our hearts, our true intentions. It is often our words, then, proceeding from our hearts, that reveal the condition of our spiritual and mental well-being. And as this country has experienced throughout this past week, and most certainly will in the months ahead, we have heard defiling words revealing that some treasure a sense of superiority over others based on skin color, who they worship, and who they love. And while we have built into our Constitution a right to free speech, we also have a right to safety when not tolerating those who are intolerant. These two rights clashed in Charlottesville, Virginia, just over a week ago. And the aftermath has been filled with words and actions that reveal the nature of the hearts of where folks in this nation stand on issues such as white supremacy and especially racism. I have read so many articles and seen so many news clips over the past week that it has made my head spin. And perhaps that has happened to you as well. And my inclination is to feel responsible to respond as a pastor, including in and through a sermon. But this task is a bit overwhelming in scope. How can the events of the past week and their implications of where we are as a nation be summarized and reflected upon from a progressive faith perspective in 15 minutes? Well, it can't, of course. Therefore, I encourage you to pay attention and to learn about what is going on, and then respond in your own way. What happened last week reveals something that ultimately we shouldn't find too shocking, in that racism, especially from the perspective of persons of color, has always remained bad. Many have thought we've entered into a post-racial society. That, as it turns out, isn't true. But what has been lying just beneath the surface for quite some time now is making its way back into the public sphere. And many have contributed some of the blame to our president. After all, he did indeed run a political campaign focused in part on riling up the disenfranchised white working class who've experienced dwindling fortunes and feel their power and influence is being replaced by people of color, people from nationalities other than historically European, people who aren't Christians. You know, these are legitimate concerns that must be addressed. But flaming the fear of the other is neither the correct nor the Christian way to go about it. We don't have time to look at all the necessary details, but let's look at the president's own words. His initial response to the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, was to blame both sides in events that led to the death of one woman, Heather Heyer, and the injury of many others by vehicular domestic terrorism. Well, that approach drew much criticism. It seemed to many that the president was making a moral equivalency between white nationalists and white supremacists, neo-Nazis, the KKK, collectively known as the alt-right and considered hate groups, and those protesting their hateful views of supremacy. Well, did these words proceed from the president's heart? And granted, Trump had a point that there was violence perpetrated by both sides. And as followers of the ways and teachings of Jesus, we should staunchly denounce violence on any side and stand behind and promote what is often called the third way. This is the way of strictly nonviolent protest and resistance. It is the way of Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., and it must be our way as well as people of faith. Well, in his second response on Monday, 2 days after the Unite the Right rally and counter-demonstration, and after the overwhelming pressure that he personally condemned white supremacist organizations by name, the president read a statement that included, "Racism is evil." "It certainly is, Mr. President." And then he continued, "And those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans." This was a good and necessary statement. But his visual discomfort in presenting it led many to question his genuineness and whether those words really proceeded from his heart. Well, the president, as it turns out, showed what appeared to be his true feelings, his intentions, his heart, the next day. At a press conference where he was supposed to only make a brief statement about infrastructure, he couldn't help but jump back into the fray. He doubled down on his original thoughts by concluding that there were, quote, many good people who were part of the white supremacist neo-Nazi rally. Well, I encourage you to watch a video produced by Vice, in capital letters, V-I-C-E. It's video of the actual march itself. And it is evident that this was not the case. From a moral standpoint, how can torch-carrying folks yelling, "You will not replace us" and "Jew will not replace us" be considered good people? Then in what appeared to be a new phrase, he labeled many of the counter-demonstrators as the alt-left, claiming that they were, quote, "very, very violent," and charged in without a permit. White supremacists and those who sympathize with their message claimed a win following this press conference and were even more emboldened because of our president's words. Well, after days of reflection, here's my take. And I say this as a pastor in the Presbyterian Church USA, committed to a ministry of inclusion, social justice, and peace. I truly believe the words at that press conference that came out of the mouth of President Donald J. Trump proceeded from his heart. And I will let you decide for yourself if his words have defiled him. But when it comes to the issue of racial equality, I personally and professionally believe that his words in this case fall into the category, quoting Jesus, "For out of the heart come evil intentions." Now, yesterday, a rally in Boston to protest hate speech, hate groups, and racism in this country drew 40,000 people. And thousands gathered in other rallies in places like Atlanta, Dallas, New Orleans, Houston, Memphis, and others. The president tweeted that he applauded those, quote, "who are speaking out against bigotry and hate. Our country will soon come together as one." Really? While I will always hold out hope, I do not see how the often divisive words proceeding from this president's heart will contribute to that. His words of unity ring hollow to many. So let's be real. Racism is long from dead in this country. And thanks to the words from those in power who buy into the philosophy of the alt-right, those hate groups are being emboldened. And while overt white supremacy remains socially unacceptable for the most part, covert white supremacy, much of which isn't really even considered to be racist by good white folks, still dwells deep within our country's institutions. And yes, if we're honest, still exists somewhat and somewhere deep within our own hearts. It's been a part of our conditioning. So how do we respond? Especially if violence is out of the question as our response to white supremacists. For yes, violence is out of the question. Well, perhaps we can be guided by our own church's mission statement. The second bullet point states that we are dedicated to, quote, receive and openly share the love of God. Perhaps you've noticed a picture going around the internet of a toddler clothed in full KKK regalia, standing in front of a black state trooper, pointing at his own little reflection in the riot shield. As it turns out, this photo is actually from 1992 in Georgia. And a mantra is often attached to this picture, and it states, "No one is born racist." It's true. It is in the countless conscious and especially unconscious ways that we are taught to be racist. So perhaps changing hearts and minds of white supremacists involves openly sharing the love of God with them in such a way that they begin to question the hating of others that dwells in their hearts and then spews forth in their words and actions. And the third bullet point in our mission statement is that we are dedicated to, quote, reach out with a compassionate voice for peace and justice. We are indeed called to seek peace and speak out for justice, which of course includes racial justice among others. So speak out, remembering that your words proceed from your heart. So may they not be words that defile. That's why the word compassionate is included in our mission statement. As many of us have learned, being compassionate isn't always as easy as it seems. For it involves suffering with not only the ones we love, but also with those we might consider our so-called enemies. For it is only through love and compassion on our part that there is hope, that light might make cracks into the darkness of intolerance. So I will end by admitting that I'm still struggling with both my anger and hope toward the wide-ranging events of this week, events that are continuing to unfold. And therein lies the tension. Therein lies the call to the third way of nonviolent protest and resistance. And therein lies the road to not tolerating the intolerant. Let us be known as an anti-racist congregation. And if wanting to be on the side of equality, justice, compassion, decency, and love, as well as being on the side that stands opposite those who believe their bloodline, or their place of birth, or their social status makes them superior to anyone, if that labels us as the alt-left, then so be it. But speak out, I will. And I hope you will too. For therein the nature of our hearts is revealed. Amen.